Thank you for the invitation, the organizers. It's a very interesting conference. Actually, I could have been here longer. So I will talk about our approach to non-perturbative definition of topological strings. And black hole entropy is our guide to define that. And Q-deformed two-dimensional Young mirrors appears as an example of that. So this is based on two work. One is the work with Andy Strominger and Cameron Buffer, which appeared before the summer. And in more recent work with Mina Aganagic, Natalina Saulina, and Cameron Buffer to appear, we have worked out some explicit case, and we will tell you how this definition actually works in particular case. So let me start with the definition of topological string at the perturbative level. This comes about because of some happy coincidence between some chiral anomaly on the string wall sheet and the fact that we are interested in physics in four dimensions. So string theory is defined in 10 space-time dimensions, and we want to compactify that on six-dimensional Calvier space to get four flat dimensions. And topological string gives us a very convenient tool to compute interesting quantities in that setup. So we start with the wall sheet theory, which is a n equal to 2 nonlinear sigma model, which describes consolidation of the map from Riemann surface, which is a wall sheet, to Calabi-Yau space. And that comes with this comes with other fermions to make n equal to 2 supersymmetry. And we perform what is called a topological twist operation, which basically changes the spin of the fermions. And then if you do that, you can actually define interesting reduced string theory, which involves integral over moduli space of Riemann surface. I forgot to write it. This is the moduli space of Riemann surface of genus G. And G minus is one of the two supercurrents that you have on the wall sheet. For that with a Bertrami differential, and you can integrate that over moduli space of Riemann surface. This gives a nice measure. And as I said, because of the chiral anomaly, this is well-defined only in the case when the target Calabi-Yau space is six real dimensions. And so anyway, so you can define this G-loop amplitude in this way. And so this is a definition of G-loop topological string amplitude. And the interesting thing is that there are two interesting things. As I mentioned, that these compute for you various important low-energy effective theory terms that you want to compute when you compactify the type 2 superstring upon Calabi-Yau space to obtain four flat dimensions. And the other thing is that you can compute many of those explicitly as a function of the moduli of Calabi-Yau. And so this is G-loop amplitude. So what you want to do is to multiply that to appropriate power of string coupling constant and sum that to all genera. This series is typically asymptotic and often not summable. So you have to find a way to make sense of this series. And so here is an advertisement of why the topological strings are useful. So topological string compute, as I said, many superpotential terms in the low energy effective theory of type 2 string compactified on Calabi-Yau space that we pointed out about 10 years ago. And this has many applications. One of the most striking was the discovery by Digraph and Buffer. That some version of that, which in that in particular case reduced the matrix model of zero dimension, compute superpotential term for four-dimensional gauge theory. And topological string theory also give a very interesting laboratory to try to understand the large end duality between gauge theory and closed string theory. So this has also been investigated rather intensely. And I was anticipating that Leonardo will tell us some more recent development, but he has changed his mind. And these are also closely related to various integral models in 4, 3, 2, 1, and perhaps 0 dimensions. And it has lots of application to mathematics, too. So this is a very interesting class of theories. Now, so I said that, well, this is asymptotic expansion and often not summable. So we want to have some kind of non-perturbative definition of this series. Now, what we should wish for non-perturbative definition of this theory? Well, at minimum, of course, when you expand whatever this non-perturbative object, in power series in string coupling constant, it should reproduce this series, of course. That's obvious thing we wish for. But the problem is that it may not be unique. And in fact, we'll see that it's very likely that there are several definitions of this type. And if there are, then you have to find some kind of criterion of what is a natural or physical non-perturbative definition, and maybe others are artificial or something. So we have to find some kind of criterion for that, and there has to be a physical reason for its non-perturbative existence. Well, if we were talking about type 2 string or M theory, which we believe and hope to have non-perturbative definition to begin with, then there are lots of physical requirements coming from dualities and other consistency conditions, unitarity, or et cetera, that give you a physical constraint. Well, topological string is more like more mathematical construction. So it's not obvious what kind of constraint that you should impose to narrow down the choice of non-perturbative completion. And the way we approach that is to embed topological string computation in the context of type 2 superstring computation. And there we expect to have non-perturbative definition. Use that to define completion of this quantity. And another thing which is nice to have, I can wish for anything, so I can, it's nice to have is so for that to be useful. So that means that it should come with some method to compute it explicitly. And we'll see that in the there are some examples in which we can actually do explicit computation in the definition that I will give. So here is my definition. So I'm going to define, I propose to define non-perturbative topological string amplitude via computation of black hole entropy. So by that I mean the following. So as I said, topological string amplitude appears in the context of type 2 string. So for definiteness, let's consider type 2A string. If you like type 2B more, we can consider mirror of that, so it doesn't impose any constraint. Then consider type 2 string compactified on Carabiao space. We know that, well, this give rise to a theory with n equal 2 supersymmetry in 4 dimensions. And this theory contains lots of BPS black holes. And those can be constructed by wrapping D-branes. So in type 2A, there are these kind of D-branes. Wrapping D-branes on various subspace of Carabiao space, obtaining point-like object in 4 dimensions. So for example, D0 brains are obvious point-like object. You can put them anywhere on Carabiao, and then it is like point-like in 4 dimension. You can wrap D2 brain on some two-dimensional cycle in Carabiao, again obtain some four-dimensional point-like object, etc. And so these are the possibilities. And for 2-cycle and 4-cycle, there are several homologically inequivalent ones that are parameterized in this way. So this is the Hodge number. And those are dual in that sense. So those are dual cycles in the sense that they intersect at a point, typically, on Carabiao space. So the consequence of that is that this charge Q associated to D2 brain and P associated to D4 brains are electromagnetic dual in 4 dimensions. So in 4 dimensions, actually, there will be H11 plus 1 abelian gauge field. And these give rise to electric charge with respect to those gauge fields, and these are magnetic charge with respect to those gauge fields. So these will be electrically and magnetically charged black hole in 4 dimensions. So you can ask how many states that this ground state of are there for the ground state of this black hole. And you can do that by specifying the amount of electric and magnetic charges, and omega counts the number of state. So then you can define generating function of such quantity here, and that is what I call the Z black hole. Okay, so the conjecture that Strominger, Buff, and I made in the summer was that there should be a non-perturbative computation or topological string partition function, that is this quantity here, at the perturbative level. Somehow the square, absolute value square of that quantity should be related to this generating function of the number of black hole. With the identification where this x, I'm going to explain the notation, x is the moduli of the Carabiao, is to be related to these black hole charges. So let me explain the notation more explicitly. So like I said, the black hole partition function is defined in this way, where omega is a number of state of the black hole of given charge P and Q. I perform Laplace transformation with respect to the electric charge, keeping the magnetic charge fixed. So this is a function of the magnetic charge of the black hole and chemical potential for electric charge. So this is a partition function, if you like, mixed ensemble for the black hole. Mixed in the sense that I'm summing over electric charge, but magnetic charges are fixed. Now, on the other hand, perturbative string partition function, topological string partition function takes this form, as I said, and it's convenient to introduce the following notation, x naught and xi, so that x naught is related to inverse of the string coupling constant, and the ratio of the x gives you the moduli of the Calabi-Yau space. We introduce this notation because these x's are naturally related to the chiral superfield that you obtain upon compactification of type 2 string on Calabi-Yau space down to 4 dimensions. Okay? So the conjecture here state that these black hole charges and these two quantities are related. This should be equal to absolute value square of this quantity. If you make the identification that these x, that gives you the moduli and string coupling constant for this topological string, is related to the black hole charges, like that. Okay? Now, why something like that has to be true? So for that, we first go back to this work 10 years ago, that these topological string amplitude compute for you the low energy effective theory action, superpotential term for that. And then it was pointed out by these people in series of work that these are exactly these superpotential terms are exactly the kind of term that you need to compute the Bekenstein entropy and its perturbative quantum correction to that, to all order in string perturbation theory. So that was their work. And their statement can be formulated in a concise way. It wasn't stated in that way in their work, but it can be stated in this rather concise way as follows. So what we do is start with the compactification of type 2 string on Calabi-Yau obtaining 4-dimensional space, and that has n equal to 2 supersymmetry, and it has lots of chiral superfield, which can be expressed in this symbol x. And the statement is that, well, if you compute the topological string amplitude, you can compute this partition function. You take log of that, you take absolute value square of that and log of that, and define it as f. You can use this f to compute the all-order corrections to the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy formula, and their formula goes as follows. First, you use what is called the black hole attractor equation, which is an equation to determine the value of this Calabi-Yau moduli as a function of black hole charges. So if you fix the magnetic charge of black hole, it basically determines the real part of this chiral superfield. And the imaginary part is going to be determined through this nonlinear relation, where Q is the electric charge, and phi is determined by knowing this function through this nonlinear relation. And their statement for all order formula for Bekenstein corrected, all order corrected Bekenstein formula is this, that black hole entropy is given by this F by adding this term and eliminating phi through this relation. Now, if you stare at this formula, of course, you notice that this is nothing but a Legendre transform from phi of Q to phi, or phi to Q, if you like, if you want to go from here to here. So that means that black hole entropy is related to this log of absolute value square of the topological string amplitude by Legendre transform from electric charge to the chemical potential. So all we were claiming is that in the full quantum theory, that Legendre transform should be replaced naturally by the Laplace transformation, as one would expect for this kind of ensemble. Okay, so is there any question so far? So we are proposing, therefore, to do this counting. If we want, so we are proposing that if we want to have non-perturbative definition of topological string amplitude, then we just count the number of black hole and define this quantity, and that is to give the definition. Yes?
You said omega was the number of states of the black hole.
It's a number of BPS state with counted with signs.
So there's signs. So
right.
It's not really the entropy.
It is not precisely the entropy. It is this Witten index, to be precise, but it's often very close to entropy. So for example, the counting of Sturmingian buffer is actually a Witten index rather than entropy in that, if you want to be precise about that. So we are proposing, if we want to say it more precisely, that generating function of this Witten index to give a non-perturbative completion of a topological string. Okay. So the rest of the talk is to test this conjecture for some class of Calabi-Yau for which we can compute black hole entropy and the topological string amplitude independently and see how they matches up. So in the case, so I'm going to tell you exactly what kind of Calabi-Yau space consider and how we go about computing them. But this is the scenario of what you are going to see. So for the kind of Calabi-Yau that I'll be describing, this black hole partition function, the number of state of black hole, is computable by using n equal 2 supersymmetric gauge theory on some four manifold that I'm going to tell you about. And there is further simplification that this gauge theory computation can be reduced to two-dimensional gauge theory computation with some Q deformation. Without deformation, the partition function of two-dimensional Yamils has been computed by Migdal, Witten, and studied in very detail in many people. In particular, earlier in 1992 or 3, Gross and Taylor studied the partition function of two-dimensional Yamils and found that if you take large n limit, if you take the large n asymptotic expansion of that, it has nice factorization into sum over absolute value square of some quantities, each of which seems to have a good string theoretical interpretation. And we will see a similar feature for the Q-deformed theory. And we will discover that, in fact, one of these terms here corresponds to perturbative closed topological string amplitude. But there are other terms which have some additional interpretation. Now, this first term is exactly of the form that is predicted by the conjecture. So the conjecture was that black hole partition function is equal to absolute value square of the topological string amplitude. Now, this explicit example shows that we need to clarify this conjecture a little bit, because you see that this is actually infinite sum of, if you like, conformal blocks, absolute value square, holomorphic and anti-holomorphic blocks. One of them corresponds to perturbative topological string amplitude, but there are others which comes with additional dibranes. And so I will tell you exactly what these quantities are. So this is the result of the computation. There is no conjecture or any thing that goes into here. We just straightforwardly computed the black hole partition function and did the perturbative expansion in string coupling constant and found that it has this kind of structure to it. And so what I'm going to do is tell you what exactly is the setup, how we go about computing this black hole entropy, and relate that eventually to the closed topological string amplitude to see how this conjecture actually works in this particular example. Okay, so this is a Calabi-Yau space. I would like to explain the notation. So sigma of G is a Riemann surface of genus G. This has nothing to do with the string wall sheet. This is a part of the target space. So G is going to be fixed. Okay. So I should have used different notation for world sheet Riemann surface, but I hope it is fairly clear. So sigma g is part of the target space. And so this is, of course, complex one-dimensional. We need two more complex dimensions. Well, so what we do is to consider a kind of vector bundle over this Riemann surface. It is actually a vector bundle which split into a product of line bundles. So one of them is denoted by this, and the other component is denoted by this. So O minus P and O P plus 2G minus 2 are both line bundle, and these numbers denote some degrees of this line bundle, if you like a curvature of the line bundle. And it's product of that, so that this is, if you like, some of that is two-dimensional line bundle, two-dimensional vector bundle, complex two-dimensional vector bundle. So the total space is therefore complex three-dimensional space. And if you choose a degree of the line bundle in this way, the total space turns out to be Calabi-Yau space. Basically, the curvature of the fiber cancels that of the base. Okay. So it's a non-compact Calabi-Yau space. It's non-compact in the direction of the fiber. Okay. Although the original conjecture was, of course, motivated by compactifying the type 2 string onto Calabi-Yau space, so you assume, of course, that there is a finite Newton's constant in four dimensions, etc. But once you establish this equality, then you can take the large volume limit of both hand sides and still require this as a definition of the left hand side, right hand side. So that's the approach that I'm going to take. Okay. So this is a very nice example to test the conjecture, because both hand side can be computed explicitly. So as for the topological string side, actually the perturbative topological string amplitude was computed recently to all order in the perturbative expansion by mathematicians at Vancouver and Princeton. And on the other hand, black hole partition function can be computed in this way. So we have this six-dimensional Calabi-Yau space, three complex dimensions. So what we're going to do is pay attention to the fourth cycle, four-dimensional subspace, that is the base Calabi-Yau and one of the two fiber, this one, O of minus P. So this is complex one-dimensional fiber, fibered over Riemann surface, so this one. Okay. So we are going to pay attention to this part. Okay, and so wrap n d brain on it, and the world volume theory on this n d 4 brain is, of course, n equal 4 gauge theory. Okay, so what we are going to do is to try to count the number of BPS state on this d 4 brain. Okay, since we have no d 6 brain in the game, so according to the identification that I wrote over here. Let's see, what is the best way? Where is the best place to look at? So I'm saying that x is equal to p plus I phi. P is a magnetic charge, and phi is a chemical potential for electric charge. And since I'm not putting any d6 brain, so there is no real part to x0. But there is a real part to x1, which counts the number of d4 charge. It turns out that if you wrap n d brain on this space, naively you get n magnetic d4 charge, but because of the intersection number between the fiber and the base, it turns out that actual magnetic d4 charge is given by this one. And then you have a chemical potential for the imaginary part. So you have chemical potential, this is the chemical potential for the d0 brain charge, and this is the chemical potential for d2 brain charge that counts the number of d2 brain wrapping on the base Riemann surface. So you want to do computation of n equal 4 super Young mirrors on this four-dimensional subspace of the Calabi-Yau space. Now, we know that n equal 4 supersymmetric gauge theory can be obtained by starting from purely topological action like that. So this is like theta term over here. And this measures the amount of, so you can, if you like, this is the second Chern class and this is the first Chern class. For this vector bundle associated to this gauge theory. And we know that if you start with this purely topological Jahn-Mills action, And then if you gauge fix the topological degrees, gauge symmetry, then you recover topologically twisted n equal 4 supersymmetric gauge theory action. And fermions and scalar field appear as ghosts and ghosts ghost for this topological action. So we can start with that. And then we try to do the functional integral to compute the number of BPS states. But it turns out that in this case, there is something very simple about it. The fiber direction is basically flat vector space. So you can actually reduce in the fiber direction to reduce this topological gauge theory computation down to that on the base. And so this is a straightforward reduction of this action down to here, except for this additional term that comes because of the curvature effect of this line bundle. And so if you eliminate this scalar field phi, you see that this action gives rise to two-dimensional Yamil's action. So nominally, therefore, this computation should reduce to two-dimensional Yamil's computation, except that phi is actually the holonomy of this gauge field. And so therefore, there is some deformation to the computation, which actually we will find to be the Q deformation of the gauge theory computation, where Q is given by exponential of string coupling constant, which is equivalent to the square of the gauge coupling constant. So we can do this computation of two-dimensional Yamil's theory explicitly, and this is the answer, where Q is given by e to the minus string coupling constant, which is the square of the Yamil's coupling constant. So you have sum over, basically sum over all possible representation of un, which I express that as the in terms of Young diagram like that. So these are the number of boxes in the Young diagram. So you have sum over these things, and so these are, if you have looked at two-dimensional Yamil's, this should be the formula that should be familiar to you, except that normally you'd see dimension of the representation appearing here, raised to the power of 2 minus 2g, where g is the genus of the Riemann surface that we are reducing this Yamil's to. Okay? No, but now this is quantum deformed. So that is what I meant by quantum deformed Yamil's. So the only thing that is this formula is the only difference of this formula from the standard to the Yamil's formula is that this dimension formula is Q deformed. So if you ignore this bracket, and if you erase this Q, then you see that this is a standard wide formula for the dimension of the UN representation. All I'm doing is that replace that with a Q number. And that Q is given by a string coupling constant or square of the gauge coupling constant. So this is a formula. This is a very close, concise formula. And here, this theta is related to the chemical potential for the D2 brain charge. Okay? So this is the answer. So this is the answer to the half of the problem. So we wanted to test this conjecture, and we wanted to compute the black hole Poisson function. We wanted to count this black hole entropy, and we have done that. This is the formula. This is the formula. But there is something strange about it. So there is something strange about it. There is something which is not completely satisfying, because phi has to be a chemical potential. So we should have this Z black hole to have this kind of expansion. But the answer does not look like that. The answer is expressed in terms of expansion e to the minus lambda to some power. We want an expansion in terms of e to the minus phi. But phi and lambda are related by this inverse relation. So this is not yet the form of this expansion. So one might worry about that. But actually, there is one nice feature of n equal 4 gauge theory that saves the day. That is that n equal 4 gauge theory has S duality. So this is a form that we want. This is a form we get. The lambda is in the wrong place. We should have e to the minus 1 over lambda because of this relation, rather than lambda. But that is exactly what S duality does for you. So In fact, it's not so hard to see that you can do S-duality transformation directly for this formula, because if you look at this, you see that you have Q to the second Casimir, which is basically the quadratic function of R. And you are summing over weight lattice of UN representation. So this is roughly like theta function. And theta function has a nice modular transformation property. So you can use the modular transformation, if you like, you can do the Poisson resummation of this formula for weight lattice. So instead of summing over weight lattice, you can sum over root lattice. And then you can reshuffle that. And that amounts to the S-duality transformation. And if you do that, then you obtain the result that is consistent with what we expect from some mathematical literature. So mathematicians have computed the same quantity in some particular cases. For example, if the base Riemann surface is genus 0 and the fiber is degree minus 2, then in this case it was shown in a beautiful work by Nakajima that in the moduli space of instanton, if you consider cohomology of the moduli space of instanton, which are the BPS state of this gauge theory, you find an action of affine B algebra of level n, where n is the rank of the gauge symmetry. And you can see that this formula actually becomes sum over character of this affine B algebra, consistent with this expectation. And as in some other case, there are also some related formula, which you can also check. So this is sort of consistency check within the gauge theory computation. So this complete the analysis of the left-hand side in this particular case. So what we want to do is to look at this formula and expand this formula for small string coupling, namely small lambda, keeping the other moduli fixed. So take small lambda, but keeping the ratio of this to be fixed, which is essentially the same as taking n to be large. So we'll be doing the large n expansion. So what we want to do is basically then to take the large n asymptotic expansion of this Q-deformed two-dimensional Young Mills and want to recover the topological string amplitude on this Calabi-Yau space. And you can do that. So there is an explicit formula. So you can expand this. And it turns out that you can basically do that using techniques that is similar to the one that was used by Gross and Taylor. And so you get a sum of infinite sum of something which depends only holomorphically on the Calabi-Yau moduli and anti-holomorphically on the Calabi-Yau moduli. And each of that is given by this kind of formula, which is reminiscent of the Fierlinde formula for the conformal blocks, where W is given by large N limit of S matrix for the Bessel-Zumino-Witten model. So this is essentially what you see in Fierlinde's formula for conformal blocks. So this is like this very much reminiscent of the conformal block. And in fact, each term in this series has an interpretation in terms of topological string on Calabi-Yau. So what you can do is to go to a basis, what we call holonomy basis, where you have representation of UN and introduce some arbitrary element of UN group, multiplying the character of that and sum them up, and then you obtain a function which depends on the choice of this group element. And you have a nice interpretation of this quantity in terms of topological string. That is that, so this is that supposed to be the total space of line bundle over Riemann's, the Calabi-Yau space. And on this Calabi-Yau space, you can consider some non-compact D-branes in it, which is not the D-brane that we considered from the beginning, but something like instantons. And it turns out that these D-branes have some non-trivial holonomies, non-trivial pi ones, around which you can associate some holonomies. And this is actually nothing but the topological string amplitude, in which we arouse the world sheet to end on these D-branes, and this holonomy keeps track of the amount of time that world sheet end on these D-brane wrapping around these cycles. And so what the structure we have here then is the following, that you have a topological string amplitude which maps holomorphically the wall sheet to the target space. But it turns out that there are these additional d-branes on which the wall sheet can end on. And then because this representation for holomorphic part matches up with the anti-holomorphic part, that means that you can also have anti-holomorphic map from Riemann surface to the target space. But so that on each of these d-branes, the boundary of holomorphic world sheet should match up with the boundary of anti-holomorphic world sheet, so that the total things becomes closed Riemann surface. So therefore, if you start with this non-perturbative completion of a topological string amplitude in a way that I defined via the black hole entropy, and then expand that in a small string coupling constant, then you do see this closed topological string amplitude reproduced. But in addition, you see that there are other configurations of the world sheet that comes into the game. That is a world sheet that is partially holomorphic, partially anti-holomorphic, and holomorphic and anti-holomorphic pieces are sold together on each of these d-branes. Okay? So here is a summary. So I claim that this mixed ensemble of BPS black hole gives a non-perturbative definition of a topological string. And this large end duality, we rate this BPS counting to the topological string amplitude. And in order to test this conjecture, we studied a case for this particular Carabiao. And in that case, you can compute the black hole entropy explicitly by reducing the computation down to two-dimensional computation and doing deformed gauge theory computation. And then I took the large n limit and found that, in fact, this gauge theory amplitude is holomorphically factorized, and each of the factorized part has a nice interpretation, in fact, in terms of topological string amplitude. But there is some additional clarification that comes from the existence of these d-branes that is related to what Gross and Taylor called omega points in their analysis of large n limit of two-dimensional Hamilton theory. So in our context, those omega points are nothing but d-branes. And I think that this is a feature that is special for these non-compact examples. I believe that in compact cases, perturbative limit would just reduce to this single terms. But in order to demonstrate that, it would be good to have some explicit example of the compact case. Right now, we don't have technology to carry out computation for either left-hand side or right-hand side. So that is a technique that we hope to develop in future. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Questions? So why aren't the charges of these extra d-branes you find at the end, you know, present in the original sort of black hole calculation?
Oh, okay, so these are d3 brains. So these are instant. Yeah, so I should have said. So this is, let me clarify the kind of d-brain we are talking about. So these are all the d-branes that you have in type 2A string that give rise to point particle-like state in four dimensions. We are considering type 2A superstring, so we have d-branes of even spatial extensions. You have d0 brain, d2 brain. So these are zero cycle, two cycle, four cycle, six cycle. So if you enumerate all of them, then you have all possible charges in four dimensions. These are d-instantons. So I didn't explain, maybe I said it here, but I didn't read. These are topological string amplitude for Carabiao with 2g minus 2 d-branes wrapping Lagrangian 3 cycles. So these are three-dimensional subspaces. And so this is the result of the computation. So this is a fact. The interpretation is that, well, one can interpret this as d-instantons. So if you like, these are d2 brain wrapping instantaneously on one of these three cycles. So these are not particle states. So those do not give rise. These cycles do not give rise to charges in four dimensions, but rather these are instantons from the four-dimensional interpretation. So if you like, therefore, you can say that this non-perturbative completion, if you make this non-perturbative completion and then do the asymptotic expansion in topological string amplitude, you discover that in addition to the closed perturbative expansion, you find that there is this additional d-instanton effect in the game.
Other questions?
So you mentioned that the perturbative topological string has an interpretation in terms of giving the terms in the effective action that are polynomial in the gauge fields.
Right.
So is there a similar interpretation for the non-perturbative terms that you find?
Well, in principle, you can write superpotential term directly in terms of so log of z. So namely, so there is a superpotential term in four-dimensional low energy effective theory, which is a function of Calabi-Yau-Keeler moduli and extra scalar field that generate wild multiplet. And so you can write the whole superpotential in terms of this quantity. So I think that one possibility is that if you have a non-perturbative object, then you can just use it to compute the superpotential term. But what is confusing, however, is that what we expect is that this kind of absolute value square structure exists only in the perturbative level. So it's not clear whether we can extract this kind of holomorphic quantities starting from this non-perturbative expression directly. So then I do not know how to write down the superpotential term. So I'm confused about that. It's an interesting question, but I don't have an answer to that.
Other questions? Shall we thank the speaker again?